The Major League Baseball draft took place last week, and the College World Series is going on right now as we bring in Georgia head coach Scott Strickland. Hey, Coach, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing great. Thanks.
Thanks for taking a few minutes to check in with us. We do appreciate it. And I know with the draft last week, we pretty much expected that Drew Waters was going to end up being drafted where he was and sign. It wasn't like the Braves stole him, right? I mean, it was like he was whoever drafted him, he was going to sign with. So I don't feel like that's the Braves coming in, swooping in, and taking somebody. But other than that, it feels like everything else went very well there for you.
Yeah, kind of went as planned. And, you know, we'd been talking to Drew. Drew committed 2 years ago. And, you know, the funny thing about it is when Drew committed, he was 5'11", 165 pounds, and a really good baseball player. And 2 years later, he's 6'2" and 195 and switch hitter with freak instincts. I mean, Mother Nature hit him. He worked really hard, and he just kind of blossomed into the player that he is. So we knew really about 6 months in advance that Drew was going to be a guy that had a chance to be a first rounder, and he went really early in the second round and had a lot of communication with him and the family. So that wasn't a surprise. The other stuff was really unknown. You didn't know what was going to happen with some of our guys. A couple of our high school guys, re-pledged to Georgia kind of during the draft. They had teams call them and ask if they were willing to sign, and they said they wanted to go to college. And we had three of our juniors that are going to come back as seniors that had the same opportunity to be pro players, and they decided to come back as seniors.
And I know that you've pretty much got not quite 100%, but you've got just about, other than, I guess, Andrew Gist, is there anyone else that won't be back that contributed last year as far as statistics go?
Well, Drew Moody and Schaefer Shepherd were both seniors along with Andrew, so, you know, we lose those two guys out of the bullpen. But, you know, as far as the starters go and the guys that came in clutch situations, I mean, Drew Moody came in and got a lot of big outs for us, and Schaefer did too. But, you know, having all those other guys back is huge. We've got four new freshmen coming in that on the mound that we feel like are going to make immediate impacts and push guys. And just watching the freshmen from last year turn into sophomores, watching those guys get a year older and a little bit more experience. And a lot of those guys are in Cape Cod right now doing very well. So it's really encouraging with the team and the club and the roster that we have coming back.
So how does it work for Cam Shepherd? I know he was originally going to go to the Cape, but now he's in a, what is it? It's a tryout for Team USA. Is that how it works?
Yeah, basically, you know, Cam was an alternate for Team USA all year long. If you're watching the College World Series right now, the middle infield for Oregon State, that's the starting middle infield for Team USA. However, them being in Omaha and them extending their play, that's what we were kind of letting known about 2 weeks ago, that, hey, it looks like Oregon State's going to go to the College World Series. If they do, then Cam is going to come, and he's got a really good chance to stick. And also Braden Shoemate, the freshman from Texas A&M, who's still in Omaha, those three guys were on the infield for Team USA. So Cam was the alternate for those guys, and now he's going to get an opportunity to play in a lot of the early games. And most likely stick with that team and have a great shot to be the starting shortstop next year for Team USA.
Talking with Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland.
Now, Coach, what does that kind of thing do for you and the program here at Georgia? Obviously, it has to be a great recruiting tool to be like, hey, you know, we've got a guy that's playing for Team USA.
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, when we recruited Cam 3 years ago when we first started, when he was in high school, he's sitting in my office, and I had the opportunity to be on the USA staff in 2011. I have my USA jersey framed in my office. And it's something I'm very proud of, and that's something that I pointed to and said, hey, Cam, that's something that you can be a part of. You can be on that team, and that's something he wanted to do. So we talked about Team USA with Cam Shepherd and some of our other guys very early on, that this is a possibility for you if you come to college. So now we can talk to our next batch of recruits. The next guy's coming in. Hey, Cam Shepherd was there. Robert Tyler was there. These guys all had a chance to represent our country and wear that Team USA uniform. And that's something that if you sign out of high school, you don't have that opportunity to do, unless you make, now the Olympics have come back, unless you're an Olympic guy out of the minor leagues, you're not going to be able to do that. So, yeah, that's certainly something that we talk to our young guys about.
Coach, what's the number of guys you have that are playing in the Cape this summer?
Well, we actually had 11 signed up to go up there. Aaron Shunk could not go up. We thought he might be healthy enough to go, and he's really, really close, but it's just grip strength isn't quite there to swing the bat. So he was taken off a roster. Zach Kristofak was also supposed to go up there. He led our team in appearances with 26. We just felt it was best just to shut him down. He's perfectly healthy, but just to rest and rest that arm a little bit. And then Cam Shepard would have been number 11. But we've got 8 guys up there right now, which is an unbelievable number of guys playing at the highest level this summer, and all of them are off to a very good start.
Yeah, one guy I wanted to ask, there were several I was going to ask you about, but Kevin Smith is up there, and he's a guy that, obviously you used him as a starter, used him as a closer, used him as a reliever. What would the amount of work you would want him to see this summer, and then how do you get him, into the fall and get ready for next year?
He's actually on an innings count up there. Guys that go up there and they pitch a significant amount in the spring, and he's playing the same place, playing Orleans for a guy named Kelly Nicholson, who he played for last summer. Kelly's really good to work with, and so we've got a pitch count, an innings count on Kevin when he goes up. He's going to start 4 or 5 times, get around 20 innings in the Cape, and then he'll be back in Athens in early July working out with Coach Gearhart to get ready for the fall. So he's going to be limited. None of our other guys have a limit on him. And they'll go up there and just pitch and hopefully get 30 to 35 innings and then get themselves ready to compete in the fall.
Talking with Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland.
Now, Coach, obviously a little change on your staff here in the offseason. Sean Kinney will be taking over as pitching coach. Kinney comes from Michigan. What can you tell us about your new pitching coach?
Well, he's an outstanding coach. Sean and I have known each other for 25 years. We were actually teammates together back in 1992 in Fairbanks, Alaska. We played summer baseball in Alaska together. We've been friends ever since. He's been at Pepperdine. He's been at San Diego. He's been at Maryland. He's been at Michigan and just done an outstanding job everywhere he's gone. He's a great communicator with pitchers. He's very good mechanically. He's very good at making adjustments on the fly with guys. He's very smart on his feet, and he's a great recruiter. You look at his recruiting classes everywhere he's been. He's done a great job. So now we've got, 2 recruiters in Sean Kinney and Scott Daly that have a great track record on the road recruiting, and 2 very good coaches. So we're excited about having Sean. He gets back in to Athens today, really kind of for the final time. He's had to go back and forth to, do the logistical things, get the house on the market and, get things for sale, turn in your computer, turn in your keys, all those things that you have to do when you move. He was in Cape Cod last weekend spending time with our guys. He went up there for 4 days. I thought it was important that he met our players up there and had a chance to have breakfast and lunch with all those guys and watch them pitch, watch them play. So, that's what he's been doing really the last week, is getting to know his personnel.
You kind of answered my next question. I was going to ask you how he gets into the flow of meeting the pitchers and how you work him in. I know you got summer baseball camps and all that kind of stuff. So I guess he'll have a busy summer as far as all the stuff he does. But what are your your overall plans or your vision for where you'll be with him and where he'll be with the staff once you guys start fall practice?
Well, again, just developing these guys, and we've got a lot of talent on this the staff. A lot of guys returning. A lot of guys that are hungry to get better and have a chip on their shoulder. So he's talked to all of them on the phone. He's gone to see some of them. He's seen some of them in person around here. He's coming back to campus today. Actually, me, Coach Daly, and Coach Kinney are sitting down today at lunch. We've got camp today, so during lunch at camp, we're going to sit down and just kind of talk about our recruiting class, the 18 class, the 19 class, believe it or not, the 2020 class we talk about. So we're going to go over all that stuff today, just so when we go on the road, we know what we're looking for. We're all on the same page. And then it's out on the road. He'll be out watching games tonight. He's going to go to Nashville this weekend to watch a couple of our commitments pitching, our 2018 kids, and really just kind of get caught up with our guys, our commits, but then also looking to the future, the 2019 and 2020 kids that we got to make pretty quick decisions on.
Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland along with us. I know we were, when we were talking to you back in January and February, you were saying y'all were still trying to figure out what the weekend rotation was going to be, and I know it was a kind of a slow moving process there that went on into the season. How important is it for you and for Coach Kenny to try to get that nailed down so you'll know going into the season who your weekend starters are going to be or who you'd like them to be?
Well, we'd obviously like to see a bunch of guys competing for those spots, and I think we've got six or seven guys that could win those roles, and we'd love to see, you know, three or four guys just emerge, you know, just kind of take off and just say, these spots are mine, this job is mine, and I'm going to take it. Right now, no guys have won those spots. It's going to be a clean slate. They're going to be starting fresh with Coach Kenny. He's watched video of them. He's been able to, you know, go on the ESPN3 and watch those guys, you know, the last month of the season pitch. So he has an idea of what these guys have and what they can do. But it's a clean slate. That's the message that he's given to these guys is, hey, there's some adjustments that we're going to make. Some of the things I see, he's communicating with them, hey, what are some of the things that you need to make an adjustment on? So those guys will all be doing that in the fall. But at the end of the fall, sure, we'd like to have that established to the guys that are in the lead to take those roles on. But you know what? I don't know if we have a guy right now that we're going to say he's our number one. We got a bunch of guys that I think can contend for that spot, and I think that's a really good thing, and we're going to have great competition in the fall.
Another guy, I mean, tremendous potential is Tony Losey. What is he doing this summer, and how are you guys keeping an eye on him?
He's in Cape Cod. Coach Kenny saw him last week, and he came in, and you know, he's in Brewster. So him and Ryan Avedano are on the same staff, and you know, the coach at Brewster and Coach Kenny are actually good friends, and he threw both of those guys in the same outing, kind of back-to-back, so Sean could see them pitch, and he was 94-95, as you'd expect. And the biggest thing with Tony is just to get that confidence back in the strike zone and get ahead in counts and really challenge hitters. And that's the thing that Sean told Tony after his outing, hey, your stuff is too good to be picking on the corners. Make sure you're aggressive early in the count, get ahead, and go get him. So, yeah, he's in the Cape. We're expecting him to, you know, to get 20 to 30, maybe 40 innings this summer, build that confidence up pitching against wood bats in the best college league in the country, and come back in the fall with that chip on his shoulder and that swagger that he had last fall.
I know you can't mention specific names. You're talking about the class of 2019. How many verbals do you have for that right now?
In that class, we have four verbals in the 19 class.
Okay.
In the 18 class, we've got five, and I think soon to be six. They're going to be small class. 19 will be a little bit bigger than 18. When you look at the numbers, we had 14 in the 2016 class. We'll have nine guys, but we added another player that will be on our roster in the fall. So we had nine guys come in the 2017 class. When you start doing the math, only 35 guys can be on your total roster.
Yeah.
Only 27 of those guys can be on scholarship. So the 2018 class is going to be small. And, you know, we're right now at five, probably going to go to six. And then the 2019 class will be a little bit larger because, again, you're projecting those 2016 guys. That's the Cam Shepherds, the Aaron Shunks, the Tucker Maxwell,
right,
the Tony Losey's, all those guys getting drafted. So that's the puzzle that you have to put together is, okay, who's going to leave? Who's going to stay? Who's going to get drafted as a junior? Who's coming back as a senior? And you're guessing. I mean, that's the thing. You have to take a really good educated guess to make sure you don't go over, because if you go over, what are you going to do? So that's the biggest issue that we have as college baseball coaches, is that baseball draft really puts doubt into what our roster is going to look like in advance, because you don't know which of your high school guys are going to get drafted and signed, and you don't know which of your juniors are going to get drafted. And it's just something that you have to take a good educated guess and really talk about as a staff and be on the same page.
And I apologize. I said 2019. I meant to say 2018. It messes me up because when you sign early, it's in 2017, but it's for the 2018 class. I meant to say the 2018 class and then 2019. But, yeah, I mean, you guys have got to be excellent bean counters. And I'll get Coach Polk on to give his thoughts on the NCAA and what you guys have to deal with.
Yeah, he'll be talking about the crew team for sure. The scholarships that go to different sports. And yeah, it's with 11.7 scholarships and 27 players to split it among, but then also the uncertainty that we have with the draft. We're the only sport that has this. You know, obviously basketball has the one and done, but you have a pretty good idea of who those guys are. In baseball, you don't really know, and especially when you're recruiting two, three, sometimes 4 years in advance I mean, there's kids, 2020 kids that just finished their freshman year in high school. A lot of kids have already committed to college, which I don't agree with. I'm not a big fan of, but that's where our game is going right now. So now you're starting to recruit that far in advance, but you also got to start thinking about, okay, which one of these guys are going to be draft guys? And you have to start talking to their families about education, how important it is to them, so you have a better idea. But yeah, you asked about the 19 class. We're about halfway done with that class already, and we're starting to work on the 2020 class.
Coach, in looking, I guess, towards next year and the following year too, do you feel like, I know you have a Drew Waters that's in your class, and that gets you, you know, when people are, oh, Drew Waters, one of the top players in the country, he signed with Georgia. I know it's tough. How do you determine how much, and you said Drew Waters was different because he was kind of a late bloomer, but how much do you determine if you want to recruit a guy that you know is probably going to turn pro and is going to be a first or second round draft pick, but you want the notoriety of, you know, when people talk about him, they say, oh, he's a Georgia signee. Does that question make any sense? Like,
yeah, it does. You know, David, at the end of the day, I don't believe that your signing class in November should be the big deal. The big deal should be what it looks like in August when they actually show up. And when you look at our 2016 class, before the draft, I think our class is ranked 15th or 16th in the country. When the draft was over, it was number 3 because we kept all our guys. And we bypassed on some really good players that, as a staff, we looked at and we just kind of said, that guy is too big of a risk. And, you know, we'll actually just say, hey, he's too good, meaning that he's a guy that's going to get $2 million thrown at him. That we think, you know, we're looking at it through a scout's eyes. Hey, that guy is a really talented player. But then you have to do your research. We've got a kid in our 18 class that we can't talk about specifically, but a kid in our 18 class who is that type of kid who you would look at just talent-wise and probably say, hey, that guy's too good, but he's a 4.0. He's a valedictorian of his class. Mom and dad really pushing college. He wants to go to school. That's a good risk to take. So when you take that risk, if a guy is not a good student and they're talking about pro ball when he's a sophomore in high school and he's really talented, those are guys that you're probably going to look the other direction on. Now, the tough thing is some of those guys end up going to college. Things happen. They get hurt or they ask for too much money and they drop in the draft. So it is a guessing game. And that's the thing you really hate is you bypass on a guy because you think he's probably going to be too good and sign, and then he ends up going to a rival and you're kicking yourself. So it's a little bit of a guessing game. You got to take some chances sometimes. But I just believe if you take too many chances and you get too many high-profile guys, they could all leave, and then what are you left with? You're not left with a really strong class. So I just believe in finding those guys that are in that sweet spot, that really good players but want to go to college, are great students, their parents want to push them, and those are the guys you focus in on.
Coach, any kind of interesting legislation or anything that's going to be happening during the offseason that will affect next year?
Well, other than, you know, on an unofficial visit, it's kind of funny when we've got a kid on campus right now, we're not allowed to go off campus with them at all. You have to stay on campus. We get on the golf cart, take them all around, and, you know, take them up to Old College and, you know, take them around and see everything, but you're not allowed to go across the street to go eat anywhere on an unofficial visit. Starting August 1st, we can actually cross the street and go eat lunch with the recruit on an unofficial visit. So there's some big flash news for you, big recruiting change right there, that we can actually go and eat lunch across the street in downtown Athens with our recruits. How
good,
about that?
Good grief. So if he wants to go out to the UGA golf course, you just got to tell him how to get there. You can't take him there.
Well, I did. That's the tricky thing. It's part of campus. So you can actually go. If you're within a 30-mile radius, you can go to facilities on campus. So you can, if they want to see equestrian, we can go out to Bishop and see equestrian because it's part of campus. But, yeah, we just took our test last week. It's 257 pages of legislation. We just took our recruiting test. So that's always fun every year that we have to take that test.
So if, like, now this is silly. So if there's like a like if you're recruiting somebody and they want to be like a a farming degree, or like you mentioned equestrian. If they wanted to go see some place that Georgia has that's considered part of campus that might be in Winder, they could go there. But if it were like farther away, 15 minutes, they couldn't. Is that kind of how it works?
Yeah, it has to be within the 30-mile radius of the main campus. So you can go out and show facilities. And we actually had a player we recruited a couple years ago whose girlfriend rode equestrian, and she wanted to see the facility. So on that visit, we went out and got with McGon, and we saw – it was kind of a dual visit. She went out and saw equestrian and saw the horses and saw the stables and the facilities out there. So as long as you're within a 30-mile radius on your unofficial or official visit, you can go visit facilities.
Oh, man. 250 questions. I think you're wrong. I think it's 2,500 questions that you guys have to.
It's 257 pages, and the question is 30 questions, but they can be anywhere in there. It's, every year I've done it now for, 21 years, and every year you sit down, you got a little pinch of nervousness, like, oh, gosh, I just hope I pass this thing because there's so much stuff in there. But we all pass with flying colors. We're ready to recruit for another year.
What do you have to make to pass? Like what's the score you got?
You got to get an 80 to pass. I've never got below an A. That's the thing. With public records, you don't want to just breeze through it and get an 80 and barely pass. So that's a nerve. I got an A on mine. So
good.
I'm always nervous about that. If that thing getting publicized and Coach Strickland barely got by, I don't want that. So I make sure that I missed two this year. I got a 92%. Couple of those trick questions that you go back and say, yep, I knew that one. But that's how tricky it is. You can commit an NCAA violation and not be thinking about it at all. There's so many little things. You just have to be careful. And that's what it's about. The rules are in place for a reason. Some people have abused them. Some people have taken them too far. So that's why we have them in place. And we just have to follow them.
Scott, thanks so much for taking time to chat with us. We really do appreciate you catching up with us. And have a great summer, and we'll be checking in again with you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland.